All right, welcome back. 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Hard to believe that we are just days away from the opening of another college basketball season. UVM men's basketball team at home this weekend, taking on Brown. It's an exhibition game. Media day was today. Everybody pumped up here in Catamount country. And I want to go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, because Saturday is going to be a very, very special day for UVM, as they're going to retire the jerseys of two of the most prolific players in program history, TJ Sorrentin and Taylor Coppenrath. A guy who's got a lot of perspective on the league as a whole, on UVM, on these two players, is Will Brown, the head coach at UAlbany. He's now going to start his 19th year at the helm of the Great Danes. A lot of great games, Coach, between you guys and the Catamounts over the last couple of years. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. I appreciate you joining us. And I wanted to have you on specifically because 19 years now you're going to have spent in the America East. You've seen a lot of the great players to come through this league. As we talk about Coppenrath and Sorrentin getting their numbers retired on Saturday, kind of where do they stand for you in America East lore?
Well, you know, it's there's been a lot of good players in the America East Conference. You mentioned TJ Sorrentin, Taylor Coppenrath, Jose Juan Barea, Jamar Wilson, guys like that. But, you know, there's been no duo like Sorrentin and Coppenrath. They were so difficult to guard. They complemented each other so well. They made the other three guys on the floor with them so effective. And, you know, Coach Brennan, he let those guys play, and rightfully so. And, they caused a lot of grief for opposing coaches, me being one of them. I'm not sure how many losses, I took, against Taylor and TJ, but I know I didn't win many games against them. And, you know, it was such a unique dynamic. Coppenrath, if more young kids and coaches, if you had access to film, he'd be a great guy to watch. He was like the America East version of Kevin McHale. His footwork was unreal. He can pivot and spin and get you dizzy, and he would never walk. And, you know, when you look at the NBA, I mentioned Kevin McHale, Hakeem Olajuwon's another one with tremendous footwork. And again, you know, Coppenrath was just so difficult to stop because he was so fundamentally sound with his feet, had great touch around the basket. And as he matured as a player and got older, he developed that three-point shot and that face-up jumper. And what was unique about his jump shot is he shot it like Larry Bird. He pulled the ball behind his head, and he had great arc on the ball. Very rarely did you see, you know, his shot get blocked. So he was able to beat you from the interior and on the perimeter, and he got pretty good at driving the ball as well. And then you have a point guard like TJ Sorrentin. He didn't pass the look test, wasn't physically imposing, wasn't quick or athletic, but he was a great basketball player. He beat you from the shoulders up. He was really skilled. He was crafty, had a chip on his shoulder, and a tremendous swagger about himself. And he'd beat you with the long ball. When he got into the lane, he found just enough of an opening to get shots off and finish at the rim. You know, TJ was one of those guys, and this is a huge compliment. If you saw him at the park walking around, you know, he had those big baggy shorts on. You know, nobody's picking him. You know, and then his team's going to go out and win every game, and he's going to be on the court all day long. He's like a silent assassin. And you put those two guys on the same court together, especially with the role players who were tough as nails and embraced their roles, and that's why Vermont had something special. And it was actually fun now to look back at it, because while TJ and Taylor were doing their thing, you know, Tom Brennan would spend half the game in the crowd high-fiving everybody. I could have sworn once I turned around and Tom was in the third row eating popcorn and drinking a Diet Coke. So, you know, those were great times. And when you had those two guys on the floor and that crowd in Patrick Gymnasium, you know, nobody really stood a chance. So I think those two guys, – along with Berea and Jamar Wilson. Those are the best players that I've seen in this league, you know, in my time as far as just dominance, but nothing like that duo in the 20 years I've been, you know, in the America East Conference. And, you know, I'm a big social media guy, so, you know, I've seen some of the stuff that Vermont has put out on social media, you know, the one highlight video with the Friends theme song.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, I'm hoping that we don't see a duo like that in the America East for a long time unless they're playing for Albany.
Coach, I wanted to ask you this, and maybe it's unfair to go back 25 years and ask you this question, but I just am curious because you're so up on recruiting and such a diligent recruiter. Were Sorrentine and Coppenrath, were they big-time recruits? Because I've always gotten the impression that Coppenrath was just kind of plucked out of the middle of nowhere in Vermont, unassuming, and TJ was undersized out of Rhode Island, and nobody else really wanted them. That's the impression I've always gotten. Like, did they sneak up on people in the league?
Well, here's the rumors that I've heard, and this is not facts, because trust me, as a young coach, you walk into this league, and you look at film, and you're like, I've got a coach and try to stop these two guys? How the heck did these guys end up at Vermont? And from what I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I was told that Taylor has family in the Albany area. He wanted to come to Albany. The coach at the time, I believe, was Scott Hicks. He wanted Taylor to redshirt. I'm sorry, Taylor wanted to redshirt. He did not want Taylor to redshirt. He wanted to play him right away, and Tom Brennan had no problem with him redshirting.
Wow.
And then TJ, I had heard that it was all like the any 10 Division II schools, and then Vermont extended him an offer. I guess it's safe to say, regardless of if those stories are true or the rumors are true, everybody missed the boat on these two guys. And you know what? It happens a lot. You know, it's hard at this level to recruit. I think we spend so much time looking for the perfect player, and we really don't realize what's right in front of us. The guys that we're getting at this level, they all have a flaw or two. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a chance to recruit them. And so Tom Brennan believed in TJ Sorrentine and handed him the ball from day one. Taylor Coppenrath was given the opportunity to redshirt and develop, just what he was looking for. Tom Brennan gave him that opportunity. And, you know, obviously the redshirt year did wonders for Taylor. You know, TJ was given that ball from day one, chip on the shoulder, swagger to his game. You know, and the rest is history. I'm not surprised they beat Syracuse. I kind of laughed when I saw TJ hold the ball 30 feet from the basket for as long as he did on that last shot, because once I saw him do that, I knew nobody else on Vermont's team was touching the ball. I knew exactly what he was doing. He was setting himself up to be the guy that takes and makes that last shot, and that's what great players do. They want that opportunity. They want the pressure on their shoulders, and they'll live and die on whether that ball goes in or it doesn't. You know, and the hard part about that team is if you double-teamed Sorrentine, there was this guy named Coppenrath on the floor. You double-team Coppenrath, well, Sorrentine's on the floor. So they can beat you on the interior. They can beat you on the perimeter. And those role players, and I mean this in the nicest way, they knew where their bread was buttered. They stayed out of the way of those two guys, and those two guys made those other three guys, you know, better. They didn't play a lot of guys off the bench on those teams. And, you know, again, as a fan of basketball like I am, and people get carried away with rivalries, and I think you form rivalries because you play meaningful games against a certain opponent. And we've played some very meaningful games against Vermont. You know, a few years ago, we had their number for several years. And now they've returned the favor, and we have struggled against them the last few years. But as a fan, I love the game, and I appreciate really good players and really good teams. And, you know, those teams were as good as any that I've seen in my tenure in the America East Conference. And, you know, I'm proud. You know, I had the opportunity to coach against them. Those two guys made me a better coach because I had to consistently plan on how do I stop both, not one, both of those guys. And I think Tom Brennan and his staff deserve a lot of credit for putting that group in a position, you know, to be very successful.
Will Brown, UAlbany men's basketball coach, with us here, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. Catamounts are going to open up their season against TJ Sorrentine's team. He's the assistant head coach over at Brown University. That's going to be on Saturday. Coach, so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the current day state of the America East. You talk about Sorrentine Coppermouth being the best duo. When you talk about guys to game plan for, how good is Anthony Lamb for this league?
You know, Anthony's one of those guys that, as a freshman, you know, he was even better than I anticipated. And each year he has expanded his game. And he's such a difficult cover now because he can go inside, outside. John and the staff do a great job at putting Anthony in different positions where he can impact the game, impact his teammates, and, you know, get the opponent back on their heels. And Anthony's a guy that makes everybody better. And what people, I don't think, realize about him is how good he is defensively as a team defender. He's got those long arms. He's a terrific shot blocker. His timing is unbelievable. And, you know, it's easy when you know a guy is just going to sit on the block. You can mix up your double teams. You can show them different looks. But when, you know, Anthony's at a point now where I think he can play the three, and he's probably going to have to play the three to play at the highest level, at the next level. But he's also can play the four at the college level. So you have to be careful, you know, on who you put on him, because if you put a smaller guy on him that you think can give him trouble on the perimeter, he's going to post that guy up. You put that bigger guy on him down on the low blocks to guard him or in the mid post, then he'll step outside. You know, so he's been fun to watch, a pain to play against and game plan for. I'm excited that he's a senior. I've already picked out the graduation card. You know, I've already written a note. It's going to go in the mail as soon as, you know, his career is over there. But, you know, again, special, special player. And it's good to see a kid who was talented as a freshman just continue to work and put in the time and develop. So, you know, he's outstanding. You know, and Vermont's had some really good players. You know, the Marcus Blakeleys of the world, you know, the Anthony Lambs, the Sorrentines, the Coppenraths. You know, so again, he's tough, man, but I think our league is underappreciated, undervalued. A lot of good athletic directors, head coaches. We have a great commissioner. The league continues to get better and better. Look what Vermont did against Syracuse. Look what UMBC, you know, did against Virginia. And I think when that happens, it opens up eyes nationally. I don't think we get enough respect regionally, but those wins help us become more of a brand, more of a regional brand, a little bit of a national brand, and that's the goal, to continue to evolve. You know, there's some really nice facilities in our league now. You know, Stony Brook, Binghamton, Vermont's breaking ground. UMBC's is unbelievable. You know, our administration is working night and day to improve our facility. And I think facilities and resources help grow programs and improve leagues. And I think that's the direction we're going as a conference right now.
Coach, you talk about some of the guys that are hard to game plan for and that you have had to scout for Vermont over the years. I want you to know that in a men's league hoop game recently, my team gave up 53 to a former Catamount Mike Trimboli. So I can only imagine what it's really like when the games actually matter to prepare for players like that.
53 in a men's league, that's pretty good. You know, one of my former players, John Yachty, who's on staff here, was playing in a men's league at the Sakati Center.
Yeah.
And he comes in the next day, and they're talking about the men's league game, and you know, somebody tells me Yachty had 79. He had 19 threes in the game, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm going, 79 points. Gosh, who the heck did you play? Then I found out the score was like 133-54, and the other team sat in a 2-3 zone, and Yachty got hot, and one of my former players, Blake Metcalf, who's like 6'9", 250, was grabbing every offensive rebound and throwing them back out, and Yachty was just teeing off. So, you know, I do have some concerns about these men's leagues, you know. It's interesting. You know, I wonder who keeps stats, number one. And the fact that you gave up 53 to Trimboli, that says a lot about you, because most people would not admit that.
Yeah, well, I'm not afraid to. They weren't all on me, but some of them were on me. Will Brown, Will Brown with us here, 101.3 The Game. Coach, I got two more questions for you relatively quick. Before I know you got to get on the practice floor, but Patrick Jim's going to close here likely after next season. It's not official yet, but you probably have maybe two regular season trips plus some potential playoff trips to Patrick Jim in the future. It's a historic gym for UVM. What's it like for an opponent? What's it like from your vantage point?
Yeah, difficult place to play. I think, one, it starts because Vermont's teams have been so good. Two, the fans are passionate up there. The place is loud. Anytime they play a meaningful game in that building, every basket, you know, you think was a game-winning basket. You know, I think the fans, they're all over the referees, so I think that can be intimidating. And for young players that haven't played in Patrick Gymnasium, you can get overwhelmed. And, you know, I try to get our guys all the time to realize that each basket's going to be 2 or 3 points. Take a deep breath. Relax. Sometimes that 40-minute game feels like 4 hours in there. But I think it's neat how that Burlington community rallies around that program and appreciates the effort that the players are giving. They support that program. You know, I think it's awesome that they're opening up a new facility, but I do think, you know, Patrick Gymnasium, you know, is special. It, you know, has caused many problems for many opponents. And, you know, not that it's going to be any easier in a bigger facility or a brand new facility. You know, I wouldn't mind if they're keeping Patrick Gymnasium open if when we play Vermont, if we can play in Patrick every year, you know, moving forward. But I'm sure that's not going to happen. But, you know, I think it's great for that program with all the success that they've had. I think it's going to do nothing, you know, but help the program, especially on the recruiting front. And it's good to see the commitment and the resources that are being you know, given and the support that's being shown. And I think a lot of programs in our league right now are trying to go in that direction so we can all elevate, you know, the level of basketball in the America East Conference.
Well, Coach, I'll get you out of here on this. It's no secret to the listeners up here that I'm from Albany. I grew up an Albany fan. You and I have had a good relationship for a number of years. One of the things that got me hooked on UAlbany hoops was, let me see, I was a freshman in high school, so this was 2005 or so, maybe 2004. Now I don't remember the year, but you guys almost beat UConn in the NCAA tournament. You were the 16, they were the 1.
Yeah, that was 05.
05, okay, good. I was pretty close then, good. It didn't seem like it was that long ago, hard to believe.
Well,
but
you know how it is. As we get older, we forget things.
So, 05, one of the guys on your staff that year was a guy by the name of Eric Eaton. He is now up here in Burlington as the head coach of Division II St. Michael's. I've got a chance to talk with him. Seems like a real sharp guy. Just kind of wanted your thoughts on him as he tries to rebuild that Division II program in town.
Yeah, really good basketball mind. He's experienced. He's been at it for a long time, so it was nice to see him get this opportunity. You know, if St. Mike's is looking for somebody that you know, can bring in talent, you know, who can coach and who can get that program back on solid footing, you know, I think Eric will be able to do that. And that's a tough league. It's a really good, you know, Division II league. And, you know, a guy that I recruited very early in my coaching career, Mike Perno, is now the head coach at the College of St. Rose, and I talk to him a lot. You know, it's hard. A lot of good coaches out there at all levels of college basketball. So, you know, I think Eric will do a really good job at St. Mike's in a tough league, and you know, it'll be fun to follow his progress.
Will Brown, head coach, UAlbany men's basketball, the Great Danes, the Catamounts, have had a number of great battles throughout his now what's going to be 19 years at the helm of UAlbany. Coach, we're looking forward to your next trip to Patrick Jim. I don't know who else will cheer for you, but I will certainly wish you good luck, and good luck the rest of the season.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And please, if you're at the Brown game, please let Taylor and TJ know the arch enemy, Coach Brown, who's a big fan of theirs, you know, offers nothing but congratulations.
Thank you, Coach, as always.
All right. Have